never went home again.
Hey, what's up, what's up, what's up? This is another episode of What Is TWS Podcast. This is the Evening with Flan Road to Recovery series. I am feeling good, feeling great. How are you? I think it's going to be slightly more upbeat. I don't know. It might not be upbeat. I might say some weird shit toward the end. So just hang in there with me. But just to backtrack, if you don't know, this series is all about me chronicling my journey on the road to recovery from alcoholism, and also trying to repair the damage and recover my family as well. So, just a little history. Not too long ago, my wife had to make the decision to leave the house and take my daughter with her because my alcoholism had gotten out of control. Since then, you know, I've been in the process of trying to get help and rebuild my life and rebuild my marriage and be a better father. Wife and daughter are back in the house, so, you know, grateful for that. But I just thought I would continue to record these episodes, and, you know, it's therapy for me, and, you know, maybe it'll help somebody else out there out as well. So I thank y'all for listening and walking with me on this, and let's get into it. All right, so again, y'all, I'm in a pretty good mood. I'm in a very good mood. I was in a excellent mood, and then I went to one of my treatment classes tonight, and I kind of heard somebody tell my story, which, you know, is usually a moment for everybody. It's usually, you know, from what I'm understanding, it's like the moment people decide, okay, yeah, this is for me, like. I need this. I need to be here, you know, because they go and they hear somebody tell their story. And it may be someone who's already on the other side of recovery telling their stories. Now they get some hope for that. For me tonight, I'm not on the other side of recovery. You know, I'm only by the time this goes up, I'll be like maybe a day away from 2 months. So looking forward to going and picking up that chip. But, that's where I am. And the person that I heard tell my story today, I think is sort of just starting their journey. So I'm like, you know, a couple of inches off the starting line. He may be right there. And it was good for me to hear, one, because I think I had started to get a little, cocky in this whole recovery thing. So I may have started to feel like, you know, I got this, I'm into a groove, I'm feeling good, I'm happy about where things are, but I might have been a little high on my progress. I might have, you know, been a little high on my own supply and needed something to remind me of what's at stake and why it is that I'm doing all this, and you know, and what it is that I want out of life and I want out of recovery. That was a dope experience. And as much as at the moment it took me back to the feelings, you know, that were my rock bottom, that were my bottom, that, you know, got me moving in this direction, just the fact that something like that can happen, and that, you know, I have the mindset now, you know, to pull the positive out of it and see, like, man, I needed that. I needed to be refocused. I needed something to knock me down a peg. I needed something to remind me of what the prize was, what I'm working so hard for, and that I have a long way to go, and it's going to require a lot of work and dedication, and I need to remember, you know, why I'm going to put in that hard work, you know, what's at stake if I ever start to ease up on that effort. So while it, you know, yeah, while it was like a little yin and yang, like while it took me to a place for a minute, it was a good place in the end. Starting to realize, you know, these things happen for a reason, and you can always find, you know, something to be grateful for. So feeling dope about that. Also, I started to realize that, like, man, addicts and alcoholics in general are amazing people. Like, some of your really, you know, some of your favorite people have probably been you know, has some substance that may have had control over them from time to time. And all of the people that I'm meeting are extremely talented and intelligent and just amazing people. And it seems to be like a common thread, like, you know, these people have these kind of issues. I think it might just be a common thread amongst all people, and then, you know, just some people are talented. But I just, when I go to these, when I go and I'm around my constituents, or when I'm around, you know, my people now, I'm realizing that everybody around me are just these awesome people with a lot of talent and a lot of, you know, and like, we're building these communities, you know, all in the goal of recovering together. And it might turn into, and it's going to turn into something awesome, because now we all have a common goal, a common purpose, and, you know, you got all of these crazy talented super dope people. So like I said, I don't know, I'm trying not to turn into one of those like sappy, everything's fucking beautiful, I love life, I love the world kind of people. Like, I still want to maintain some of my snarkiness and sarcasm, and I think I was once described as delightfully cynical, and I take pride in that. So I want to hold on to some of that, because I think that's who I am. But I'm also like turning this leaf into something really positive. I do want to say that one thing that is bothering me right now is that I have a history of, you know, these highs come with crazy lows. So it's like in the back of my mind, there's this nagging thought that at some point, you know, I'm gonna crash, and I'm gonna crash hard. And it might just be like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, you know, when you're expecting something bad to happen, something bad is gonna happen, you look for the bad thing. Like, bad things are always happening. It's probably bad things happening right now, but I'm in such a positive vibe that all I see is the good. Everything looks good. Even when I see something bad, I find something good in it. And but if I start to look for the negative, I'm gonna see the negative. And so I guess I gotta talk myself out of that. But we got a lot of good things going on right now. I mean, like, I'm so proud of the podcast and the website and the Facebook page and everything that we got going, building communities there. If you haven't checked it out, we got a group now. In addition to the Facebook page, we started a Facebook group, and it's a very dope place for open and honest conversation. I'm trying to create a safe space for everybody, you know, come express your, you know, your feelings on certain topics, exchange ideas. It's not about, you know, bashing or wrong or right. It's about, you know, I know how I feel about certain stuff, and I don't feel confident about how I feel about it until I, you know, try to understand how other people feel about it, or how to try to understand why you feel differently, you know. And if I can hear why you feel differently and still feel the way I feel, then I'm good. If I hear why you feel differently and it sways me, then maybe I needed to be swayed. I needed to not live in my bubble and think how I thought just because I didn't know any better. So as I'm trying to create this space where that can happen, where, you know, you can be you, I can be me, we might learn from each other, we might meet in the middle, we might decide, you know, agree to disagree, but it's all love, and we can disagree without disrespect. That's the goal of the Facebook group. So yeah, if you can find us, just check out the page, you know, What Is TWS, the White Pants Society podcast page, and there's the White Pants Society Facebook group. Come join us. It's open to the public. I think right now I still have to like approve new members, but I ain't turning people down unless, you know, this is blatant that you don't belong there. I don't know who doesn't belong there. So come check it out. But I'm extremely excited about that. You know, I just gotta prepare myself to when the hiccup comes, because the hiccup is always coming. It's always, you know, it's never gonna be, you know, strawberries and cream forever. I don't know why I chose strawberries and cream. It's not like I eat that, but you know, something's gonna happen. The bitter's gonna come with the sweet, and I gotta be ready to like not let that take me down. You know, and that brings me to the next thing I wanted to talk about. As I think about, you know, how to approach life these days, and figuring out my triggers and things like that. I said this on the last episode, like the dopest thing about this whole recovery process, and I was explaining this to my wife the other day, is that it is not about, it's not a drug problem or alcohol problem. It's a human problem. And when you get into the recovery, like the recovery is not about, we don't go into any depth about like alcohol. Like my day does not revolve around me not trying to drink. My day revolves around me finding ways to be happy and to live a life that doesn't require me to drink. Yeah. So I'm not sitting, you know, with this thought of don't drink. You know, that's not what's going on. I'm thinking of other things, and I'm finding ways to not ever get to the point where I gotta tell myself not to drink. I'm trying, you know. I have a lot of days where alcohol don't cross my mind, and that's a beautiful thing. And one of the strategies that I found, because I used to try meditation and I kind of fell out of practice. I tell you, funny story why I fell out of practice. I was meditating, I was doing good, and then my brother-in-law's, I call them the Darknesses. They came down, and they both young. One was playing football at the time. I don't know if he's still playing football. The other is like fucking Chuck Norris or some shit. And they came down, and at the time I was doing my running, I thought I was in shape. So we all went to like the gym in my apartment complex, and I tried to keep up with them boys. And I strained or tore, I don't know, I was too proud to go to the doctor, but I strained or tore abdominal muscle, and I was like curled over for like a week. So I couldn't like sit up straight and do my little pose, do my meditation. So I just fell out of practice. And I was just in pain constantly because my wife was like, well, you can lay down and be silent and still for 20 minutes. Like, nah, I can't be still for 20 minutes. Right? Like, I'm riding in pain, fucking around with the doctors. Anyways, so meditation was a thing for me. And when you start meditating, or when I started meditating, I used to focus on a mantra. Some people focus on breathing. Some people count. Whatever, you know, you usually are trying to focus on a specific thing so that you're not getting caught up in your thoughts. You're trying, you know, that you're not thinking. But the cool thing is that you're supposed to expect for your mind to wander. Like your mind is going to wander. You don't want your mind to wander, but it's going to happen. Like, that's the goal, is for it not to happen. And if you be able to find that focus, stay on your mantra or stay on your breathing or whatever it is, and reach that state, but it's going to happen. And when it happens, as soon as you become conscious of it happening, you just bring yourself back to whatever that focus point was. So whenever I found my mind wandering, I just come back to the mantra, you know. And that's what I'm doing in like my daily life right now. Like, I'm trying to find something positive to focus on, you know. I got a little sign up in the studio that says there is always, always, always something to be grateful for. I'm trying to find in whatever moment, you know, something to be grateful for. If it's not apparent, you know, I got to look for it. I'm looking for it. But I'm going to find something in the moment to be grateful for, something positive to hold on to. And I'm going to expect that, you know, my mind and, you know, the depression that I deal with and just life in general, I'm going to slip off into negativity from time to time. And I don't have to beat myself up. I'm like, damn, I'm being negative again. No. I just, as soon as I realize I'm being negative, I go search for some shit to be positive about. And it'd be like dumb stuff. It'd be dumb shit. It'd be like, I'm in class the other day and they playing this Born As VHS from 19, who knows. And like, I'm starting in my mind be critical of the person speaking. Is she talking too fast? And she need to take a breath? This is boring. Why am I here? I was home. And then I just had to find like, man, I only got a week left in here, or I got some new shoes at the house. When I get home, I get to open the package. I just had to find something dumb to be happy about to take me out of that negative space before I start to go down. So yeah, that's my little strategy right now. Like, I live life like I meditate. I expect myself to wander off into the negativity every once in a while, but as soon as I become conscious of it, I just pull myself back to something good, And I'm trying to hold on to the thought that there's always, always, always something to be grateful for. So that's my little tip for the day. You know, if you are, there's always something to be grateful for. And if you find yourself in a negative space, just pick something, you know, like my lunch was good. I don't know. Just find something to grab onto and try to put yourself to a positive space. Flan says, all right, what else we got? Oh, yeah, what else going on in my life? I got a sponsor, y'all. That I was having a hard time with that. It's like a requirement of the treatment that I'm in right now that I have a sponsor. And, you know, I'm a loner. Like, I'm me. I want to be, you know, by myself. I can do it. I don't need help, you know. I got to build a relationship with a stranger, like somebody I don't really know. And then, you know, I mean, not that I was trying to, you know, have some relationship with a woman, but it's got to be a dude. Now, you know, I got all these dudes' numbers in my phone because every time I was going to these, you know, different classes and sessions and stuff, you know, you taking numbers and, you know, text people are texting you, you texting back, you know, people checking on you, making sure you maintaining your sobriety. So I got like way more dudes' numbers in my phone than I'm comfortable with. But it's like, I mean, I don't even know no other way to tell it, but I met a guy. And he was really cool. I really liked him. And I thought to myself, I want him to be my sponsor. And I met an old dude at one of the meetings that I go to. And he was like, you know, it's not that big of a deal, man. It's not like asking a girl to the prom or something. But not, that's exactly the fuck how I felt. Like, it felt like, you know, I gotta, like, I gotta become vulnerable for a second. I gotta walk up to this dude. It reminded me of, like, you know, when I was in the seventh grade, used to have to, you know, ask a girl, can I have a chance? Like, that was the way of saying, you know, will you be my girlfriend? And what did that mean, by the way, anyway? Can I have a chance? A chance to what? But any fuck it. I digress. So, you know, I met the guy. I thought he was cool. And then he, like, didn't show up. To me, I think he went out of town for like the holidays. He wasn't like at meetings for a minute. And I like go to the meetings like, this is gonna be the night. This is gonna be the night. And then he wouldn't be there. And I'd be a little disappointed in my feelings, you know, that my guy wasn't there. And but now, this week, you know, last week, finally caught him at a meeting and just waited till the meeting was over. And he was talking with some other people. And I saw my opportunity and I just jumped in there and I was like, hey man, I was just wondering if you sponsored. And dude was mad excited. Like, you know, I think I might be his first sponsoree. So I didn't get rejected, which is a beautiful thing because I don't handle rejection well. Would have sent me into a dark space. Not sure if I could have found something positive enough to pull me out of it, but it didn't happen that way. God only gives you what you can handle. Blessings. But yeah, got a sponsor, so I can scratch that off my list. And now I can really get into working through this recovery program and coming out on the other side a better person. But I'm definitely seeing, you know, changes for the better. I'm definitely seeing that I'm in a better headspace. I hope y'all can hear it, you know, on the podcast tonight. Like, I'm just in a general overall better mood. And it's not that, you know, stuff in my life isn't happening. You know, I'm on the IM with my wife earlier today, you know, telling her about something that's happening at my job. You know, that I was going through another one of those, you know. Like, I'm so angry, my chest is tight, you know. And these are the moments where I would normally reach for alcohol. Like, I'm angry. It's a work-related anger, so I really don't have an outlet for it. I can't yell at nobody. I can't curse anybody out. I can't go off, you know, into one of my things. So I just gotta hold it, and it's weighing on my chest. And I talked to my wife. You know, I did my little, you know, meditation technique and searched for something to be grateful for and held on to that idea. I was able to pull myself back, and you know, I'm here now recording the podcast hours later, and I feel great. Whereas, you know, usual, had I not, you know, been a couple shots in, I'd have still been in that same space. I would have still been in that same angry, frustrated, fucked up space. And it like physically used to hurt. Like, I really, like, my chest would hurt because I'd be so mad and don't have no way to get it out, you know. So I'm thankful that I'm turning that corner, at least that I get to come home and feel how I want to feel, not feel the way some outside thing made me feel. I get a choice on it. I get to choose what I think about. I get to choose a little bit of how I feel. So hey y'all, I'm making progress. Shouts to me. But it's, you know, I definitely see the progress, because I was at a meeting maybe 2 weeks ago or something, and we was reading this story about a homeless dude. And I realized when I was reading the story that I used to fantasize about being homeless. Like, this is how fucked up, like, my thinking was. This is how crazy my thinking was. Like, a lot of alcoholics, they say, you know, suffer from anxiety, and so what they try to do is control everything. Like, you know, they suffer from anxiety because things are out of their control, and they just, you know, struggling all the time to control everything. Whereas I think for me, I don't want control. I don't want the pressure of having to control everything. I am anxious. I do feel that anxiety because things are out of my control, and you not doing what I think you should be doing, and this isn't happening the way I think it should be happening. But rather than me wanting control of it, I want to not care about it. And alcohol was my fuck it. I could couple shot, fuck it. Fuck you, fuck I'm late, fuck this job, fuck everything. And so at a certain point, even with my wife that I love, my beautiful daughter that I adore, my fantasy was being able to let go of all of it. Like, if I could, I felt like I needed to be strong enough to not have attachment to anything, nothing material, no people, no nothing. If I could get to that point where, you know, I didn't care so much that, you know, that living under a bridge would be paradise. Like, I ain't never, you know, I think one of the things in the book was like, dude was like, I was never lost because I never cared about where I was going. I was like, yes. Like, to just never give a fuck about where you at or what you was doing, or, you know, the light bill, or going to work the next morning, or wife said we need to talk, or daughter crying. Like, that used to be like my fantasy, like, to just give up everything and I could just drink myself into oblivion and live under a bridge with my other hobo friends. Like, it seemed, and you know, I'm saying no offense to anybody that's ever been homeless that thinks, you know, I'm sitting here like glamorizing a really fucked up situation. Trust me, I was far enough away from it that it looked attractive. I know if I ever got up close, if I ever spent the day outside, I'd probably been like, nah, fuck this. I love my life. Oh man, I gotta fix this shit. But from a distance, like, that was my fantasy. Jeez, like, that is like, that's, you know. And so just understand, people, if you're around somebody that that suffers with any kind of addiction or alcoholism or whatever it is, that what it does to the way you think is crazy. And you know, these aren't necessarily sane people anymore. They don't have control over all of their thoughts and emotions, and so some of the things they do are not like directed. It's not personal. It's not about you. And their ability to not think about you is not about you or how they feel about you. It's about the disease. Like, I truly believe it's a disease now. I think I talked about that in the beginning, about whether or not it was a disease. And you know, just people saying, you just make bad decisions, you just fucked up, you need to be stronger or whatever. And I really think it's a disease, and it affects you in ways you don't think about until you start climbing out of it. And, as always, I encourage anybody that even thinks that they have a problem, you know, go somewhere and just reach out. Because what'll probably happen is you'll hear your story. And sometimes hearing somebody else say it, you realize how fucked up it is. You realize how bad it's got. Like, when you in it, you rationalize it. You figure out, nah, it ain't that bad. Oh, I only do this. And oh, I don't do this. You start comparing yourself to, I'm not a bum. I got a job. I go to work every day. I got a wife. You start saying shit like that. And sometimes you got to hear somebody else say it. And you're like, all right, that shit sounds fucked up. I think I had to read that story to be like, this whole hobo fantasy I have is pretty fucked. Like, I need help. I'm a strange individual. I'm a sick person. I'm a sick-minded person. I had elementary school principal that used to scare us at lunchtime about, like, leaving the playground and going off in the woods because it was sick-minded people in the woods that would, like, rape you and cut you in pieces and stuff like that. And mind you, I went to school in D.C., so it was, like, the middle of a city, so these woods were not but so thick. But I just believe, like, miles into these trees, there would be, like, a log cabin somewhere with, like, the Hills Have Eyes type people raping and cutting people up. And it was just called the sick-minded people. Sorry, stories just kind of mine. But, yeah, other than that, I guess that's where I am in my recovery. Those are the epiphanies and things that I've had this week that I wanted to share with you guys. But, yeah, I'm loving life. And I'm appreciating all the support. Oh yeah, I was right now the Man podcast. I think it's you are not a or you ain't a man or something like that. You ain't a man on Twitter, but the Man M.A.N podcast. I did a guest episode with them, and it's all over my Twitter. It's all over our SoundCloud. They allowed me to come on there, you know, and tell my story about addiction and alcoholism. And I thank those two brothers, Jay and Baby Huey, for letting me come on the show and tell my story. They were really engaging. They seemed, you know, really interested. Had dope questions that made me think about you know, certain things that I was going through or have gone through. I tried to be as transparent as possible. So you know, whatever I haven't said on here, I probably said on there. Check it out, but check out their podcast in general because it's real dope. Yeah, I mean, things are turning a corner for me. I'm getting more opportunities to do things. I'm clear-headed, so I'm flooded with ideas for TWS, the podcast, and our future. And it's a brand new day. It's a brand new day. I'm about to be the light for real. For real. I've been talking about it for a minute, but I'm feeling real light-like right now. That'll turn down. Am I light-like? Can I be light-like? Light-like. Not like-like or whatever you think I'm saying. I'm feeling real light-like. But yeah, as always, I know I've been everywhere. I appreciate y'all listening. This is a DJ Premier beat, by the way. That was Gil Scott-Heron. One of my favorite joints. The song that lets me know my wife is a psychopath because she laughs at it. But as always, I appreciate y'all listening. I appreciate y'all rocking with me on this journey. And until we speak again, be safe and be the light. Peace.